radio to the Maine Outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine Outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
And I think that would be me. Thank you, and good evening, one and all, and welcome to Maine Outdoors, Maine's longest-running outdoor talk radio program. And if you'd like to be on our show tonight, we have a number to call, toll-free statewide, 1-800-966-1039. And I'll introduce our guests in just a moment, but first the crew that make this show possible every week. First of all, the founder, the plank owner of Maine Outdoors, has been here since year one. He's a former bush pilot, he's a former lawman, and he's a pretty fair banjo picker, Mr. Jim Layton, the Baron of Fields Pond.
Yes, thank you, Paul. Welcome aboard, everybody. It's going to be a wonderful show tonight.
And who's that new face beside you on the right there?
Well, I'm telling you, 6 months and 4 days later, here he is. So I'm Mr. back. Scotty Bates.
Okay. Yes, good to be back, although I don't know about your weather here.
You're not missing anything. Wish your wife's going to be nagging you to go back to Florida,
right,
I'm telling you.
Right, but we had to come home for some fiddleheads. So.
We came back exactly the right time.
Yes.
I guess they're peaking right now, I heard.
Yes, they are.
Anyway, nice to have you back, Scotty Bates.
Thank you.
And incidentally, in the interest of disclosure, you may have figured it out, but your host tonight, who's normally a robust, healthy guy, in spite of his age, has a little bit of a head cold, and as it turned out, as fate would have it, his main guest also has a head cold, so we won't be giving each other a cold. That's a good sign.
Absolutely.
Right? Looks like a triage in here tonight. We've got Clorox wipes, we've got sugar-free, tripling, soothing cough drops and tissues and hand sanitizer. Anyway, we're going to have a good time tonight. Just don't get too close to your radio. Right, Don?
That's correct.
All right. Our guest tonight is a friend of mine who I've known for many, many years. He's one of the founders of the Penobscot Fly Fishers, and he owns a rod and fly shop called Annika Rod and Fly over there in Brewer. And please welcome Don Corey.
Damn. Paul, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you here. How you feeling, all right?
I've been better, but...
We'll get through it, won't we?
We will.
All right. And with us, without a head cold, he's a member of the Penobscot Fly Fishers. He's a very, very capable fly fisherman in his own right, and he's on the pro staff at Annika Rod and Fly, Mr. Rob Dunnett.
On the other side of the table, away from the sick people.
Yeah, you have.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Nice to have you here, Rob, as well. We're going to talk about fly fishing and rod making and all kinds of things here tonight on Maine Outdoors. And again, if you want to join us, we welcome you to do so at 1-800-966-1039. We have a caller standing by already.
Hello?
Good evening. Welcome to Maine Outdoors.
Thank you. My son's asked me, he's a great fisherman and everything, but he asked, when largemouth bass spawned, which one comes up first, the female or the male?
Danged if I know. You fellas have a clue to that? I wouldn't know.
Which one's a smoker?
I don't know. I have no idea. I think probably the female would be protecting the nest probably pretty aggressively. That would be
first.
My guess.
But
that's an interesting question. We'll have to put it to a biologist.
How long do they stay up in the shadows?
How long do they stay in the shadows?
In the shallows, I think she means.
Oh, in the shallows?
Yes. Which one stays longer, the female or the male?
I don't know the answer to that either. Boy, you're difficult. You got some tough questions tonight.
Yes, some good ones.
Those are good questions.
All week.
All right. We'll see if we can get an answer from a biologist.
Yeah, we need a biologist to call in.
All right.
Answer for us.
All right. Appreciate the call.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. Interesting questions. And incidentally, the rest of our crew are all hunkered down at Grand Lake Stream for the annual meeting of the Woolly Bugger Gang. And we want to wish them well. And Bob Lehman, of course, our co-host, is the leader of that group. And he's the high poobah down there holding court for all those young fly fishermen. And we hope they have a pleasant stay. Be careful, guys. I understand Rob just checked the flows down there. I understand the water's a little high, so be careful. Make sure you've got your belt on your waders. We wouldn't want to lose you. All righty. Right now, it's time for Outdoor Digest, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal. A couple of reminders, Fish and Wildlife Department is sponsoring a Chesuncook Salmon Derby. That's Memorial Weekend, and the name of the game is to try to take as many small salmon as they can. There are too many salmon in the lake, and they want to try to reduce the population in order to encourage the forage base. And it's a plan that the biologists have, and that'll be May 25th and May 26th. They're giving out some pretty good prizes, $500 for the largest salmon caught, $500 for a fish drawing, and some other possible prizes in the fish pool. It's $20 a person to join. And again, all you have to do is fish to Suncook Lake on Memorial Weekend, May 25th, 26th. For more information, you can go online to www.nrec. That's Natural Resources Something Council, NREC, moosehead.org.
We just had a caller.
Yeah.
And he said it's the male that protects the nest.
It is.
It is. Yep.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that.
He sounded pretty official.
Well, if he sounded it, we'll buy. I'll buy that.
Would you like to hear some good music?
Yeah, just one more thing.
Okay.
I just want to remind everybody, the Maine Fish and Wildlife Department is now recruiting for game wardens. So here's your chance, Don. Been waiting years for that. If you want to be a game warden, call 287-8000 during the week, and they'll tell you more. And before you hit that little button, I want to just say that this is a new CD out by the group called the Sandy River Ramblers, and my granddaughter, Dana Reynolds, is a member of that group, a vocalist, and I'm going to take some liberties and play one of her songs from that CD. I'll be playing others during the month. This is a really nice CD, mostly songs about the outdoors. And this is a new one, and again, it's the Sandy River Ramblers, and it's called Trout on the Line.
Nothing like that good bluegrass.
The best times I had were up in the North Woods fishing with Dad. Sky was deep blue, and the pine trees were green. Walking for miles on a cold mountain stream. Dad was a big dog, I was a pup. He's walking so fast I could hardly keep up. The waiter's for us, cause we walked for so far. Over blowdowns and boulders, 6 miles from the car. I've never felt more in the presence of God than out there with Dad and a fly reel and rod. Somewhere between profane and divine, knee deep in cold water with a trout on the line. A brook trout is wary, not easy to catch. Dad knew how to beat 'em and bring home a batch. He just had one secret, and that was a goal. Water that's hardly been fished before. We bushwhacked a while to save us some time. Go over burnt mountain and down a steep climb. Just a little ways more than we hit the stream. Up in the North Woods, living a dream. I've never felt more in the presence of God than out there with Dad and a fly reel and rod. Somewhere between profane and divine, knee deep in cold water with a trout on the line. Soaking with sneakers, but we don't care. Nobody around us, just us and the bears. Now comes the moment, the flies on the brook. Jerk on the line, then you set your hook. You've gotta be patient to give him some play. Or shake off the hook and go swimming away. Dad looks back at me with a grin on his face. It feels like the definition of grace. I've never felt more in the presence of God than out there with Dad and a fly reel and rod. Somewhere between profane and divine, knee deep in cold water with a trout on the line.
Wow.
Sandy River Gamblers and my granddaughter Dana Reynolds singing the vocal there. And we'll be hearing more from them on their new CD a little later on in the month.
Boy.
What do you think about that picking? Pretty good,
oh,
huh?
Man, that is nothing but the best right there.
And my granddaughter's pretty good,
oh,
too.
Oh, my word. Oh, my word. She
all
was
right.
Wonderful.
She did a great job. We appreciate
it. SandyRiverRamblers.com, maybe?
Yeah, SandyRiverRamblers.com if you're interested in buying a CD.
Wow.
Okay, our guest tonight, again, Don Corey and from Annika Rod and Fly Shop, and also Rob Dunnett. And we're going to interview them in just a minute. Right now, though, we have a trivia question. And Don has generously agreed to give away a $20 gift certificate from his shop. And but he has a question for you. And if you know the answer to the question, we will mail you a $20 gift card from Annika Rod and Fly. What's the question, Don?
Well, the question is, and this has to do with fly fishing, not drinking from a jug over your shoulder.
Oh, okay.
What is meant by the term double haul?
Double haul. Okay. You ponder that, and we'll be right back. 1-800-966-1039.
More Maine Outdoors next on 101.3 Augusta, 103.9 Bangor, 95.1 Rockland, the voice of Maine.
Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors, and we're looking for an answer to Don's trivia question, which is, in fly fishing, what is meant by the term double haul? We have a caller standing by. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors.
Is that me that's standing by?
Yes, sir. That would be you.
I'm Scott MacArthur from Middington now. Yes, double hauling is loading the rod. You cast with your right hand and you handle the line with your left hand. And when you lift it, you pull make a tug on the rod to help load the rod.
Uh-huh.
You make your back cast. And then when you come forward, you tug on the line again, which powers the rod to drive the line further forward.
Okay, we're going to have to check with Rob Dunnett.
You lift in and... Pardon?
I want to check with the judge here, see if that's the right answer. Rob, how's his answer?
That's a perfect answer.
Perfect answer.
Yep, that's absolutely correct.
You get an A+, Scott.
Okay, I have a question for you, please.
Okay, go ahead.
excuse me. Can I cut down? I've got a couple old 9-foot, 8.5-foot bamboo rods, and they're not expensive ones. But I'm trying to get a small fly rod for in streams. Can I cut this rod down by shortening the lower half of the rod by a foot and then re-gluing the handle onto it?
Oh, good question. Interesting. Who wants to take that? One of you guys.
Well, I would think that would you'd have a very softer action rod than you already have because you're getting rid of the stiffness of the butt.
Yeah.
If you're not concerned about, casting long distances – and you're looking for something to pack around for stream fishing, I would say that you probably could get away with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because obviously, other than rogue casting, you're not going to be able to make a back cast. So I just wanted a small fly rod just to play in the streams and the brooks with. So
yeah, you might have to adjust your guide spacing a little bit on the first guide, but more than likely you would be just fine.
Yeah.
And you may have to change your line a little bit to load it properly as you play around with it a little bit.
And what do you mean by changing the line?
The line weight.
Got that. So I'd have to get down to like a full weight, smaller, lighter weight.
You may, yes.
Okay. Scott.
Well, thank you.
Okay, don't go away, Scott. We want to make sure we get your address so we can mail you this gift card from Annika Fly Shop.
Yeah, my wife and I enjoy your show, and we have a cup of tea and sit and listen to you in the evening.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that, Scott. I appreciate that comment, and I'm glad your wife is listening as well. So stay on the line, and Scotty Bates will get your address, and we'll send this card right out to you, Scott.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate his fly shop and brewer as well. So.
Oh, good.
We'll see you soon, Scott.
All right. And you didn't pay him to say that, right?
I did not.
No, okay. Okay, Scotty, stay on the line. You'll be talking to another Scotty, okay?
Okay, I'm waiting patiently.
All right, thank you. Okay, let's get down to business here, gents. Again, if you joined us late, folks, our guests are Rob Dunnett and Don Corey from Annika Rod and Fly Shop and Brewer. And let's start out by, I always assume that maybe I know both of you gents have been on our program before, but for those who may not have met you on the air, Don, tell us a little bit about how you happen to run a fly shop.
Well, it started with a... fly tying course through the Trout Unlimited 40 odd years ago, and
it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah,
was it?
It was.
Huh?
Yeah, it was.
You're kidding me.
Yep. And it was a great sparked my interest. Went on a few trips back in the day, and then put it down for a while, and then picked it up again a little later in life. And the shop is just kind of it's kind of like a hobby on steroids. It started out very small, and it's grown, and we're at the point now where we've got a brick and mortar shop.
And you do a lot of rod making as well, right?
Yes, yeah, mostly in the winter. Yep. Sometimes early spring, gals will come in. We'll build rods right there at the shop, small groups.
Yeah,
and it keeps us busy during the winter for sure.
I bet. Yeah, Rob, how about you? How'd you get interested in fly fishing?
Well, I did it a little differently than Don. I came to it about 13 years ago. I took the basic fly tying class that the Penobscot Fly Fishers had.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
And with that, met Don, and he taught me everything I know about fly tying to this date, and I've really taken it up as a hobby and something I really enjoy to do.
So. Yeah. Did you fish before you took up the course from Penobscot Fly Fishers?
I fished, but I didn't fly fish.
Yeah. So you were like Jim Layton. You use those dirty angle worms.
Yeah,
you can confess here. You can be honest.
Easy.
I was more of a Rapala guy back in the day.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, Rapalas are pretty good.
Yeah, they are.
I was using myself.
Yep. Especially with garden hackle.
Well, especially with a little angle worm trailing that treble hook on the stern, right, Jim?
tough casting a fly with an angle worm on the end of it on a fly rod.
Yeah, especially with a Rapala attached to the angle worm. Yeah.
A lot of action.
Yeah, a lot of action. All right. One of the things that we've got a bunch of things we want to cover tonight before show is over. Let's talk about fly rods and any new technology. I know I'm not really up to speed. I love to fly fish. It's one of my passions, as Don knows. I used to try to tie, but I'm not a very good tier, so I sort of gave that up. Took up watercolor painting, which I'm better at than fly tying. But anyway, I have an old LL Bean double L rod, and every time I use it, Bob Lehman laughs at me. But thing is, like, I don't know, 30, 40 years old, and it serves the purpose. It does all right. But I know there's a lot of new technology in rods, and I don't keep up to speed with that. Can you get us up to speed, either one of you folks? We'll talk about technology.
Well,
I know some.
The thing that's changed the most over the years is rods get lighter and faster action. That seems to be the route that most all the manufacturers.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, fast action rods are not for everybody. And I find a lot of folks will actually overline their rod by a line weight in order to slow the rod down a little bit. They still want to be able to say they have that fast action rod, the latest and greatest.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But they don't always have a good time casting it. So a moderate fast action is probably the biggest seller right now.
And for somebody who is a newcomer, would you recommend that?
Yes.
You would?
Yep.
Yeah. What do you fish with?
I like...
What's your favorite rod? One you made yourself? Or?
Yep, a 7-weight. I do a lot of smallmouth fishing in the summer up on the Penobscot, and I used to do a little more brook trout fishing, sour to hunk and places, but I do a lot more bass fishing now, and smallmouth, 7-weight's a really good size for me, and moderate to fast action fits my casting style. So,
if somebody were going to say to you, Don, I want to buy you any rod you want, any fly rod you want, your little heart desires, I'm going to pay for it.
He owns them all.
He does already. But what would you buy?
Well, as long as he gets it from Annika Rod and Fly, I wouldn't care where.
Oh, okay, all right.
No, there's no really bad manufacturers these days. Orvis, Sage, they all make great rods. They're on the higher end. Scott's. Most of my clientele, Echo Rods I carry, TFO Rods are both more moderately priced choice, and the casual fly fisherman will never know, hardly know the difference.
Is that right? Yeah.
I mean, a seasoned caster would certainly know the difference, but I encourage people to try different rods. You know, to go out and buy a rod without actually putting it in your hand, it's like driving a car buying a car without doing a test drive. You may think that's what you want, but until you get that rod in your hands, you may change your mind.
So a person really has to find the rod that's right for them, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
And work, you know, work with their buddies. I mean, they probably have buddies that have different rods from different manufacturers. And if they try out rods and say, gee, I really like that rod that you've got, and I get a lot of people in that that's what they do. They said, you know, they come through the door and they know exactly what they want because they've tried their buddy's rod. And,
yeah.
And
how about you, Rob?
What's
your favorite rod?
I've got a 708 TFO that I built that I really like. And you know, when you get into this, one of the things that's nice about fly fishing is you can tie your own flies, and then you can build your own rod, and then you can go out and fish those, and you feel an accomplishment from doing that. I was going to add, as fly rods go, one of the new things, so one of the new crazes has been Euro nymphing or tight line nymphing. And what that is it's using a longer leader, and it's a different way of fishing. And they've gone to a 10-foot rod instead of a 9-foot rod.
All right, we're gonna pursue that right after the break. Okay, you stay with us. We'll be back with more right here on Maine Outdoors.
Outdoors next on 101.3 Augusta, 103.9 Bangor, 95.1 Rockland, the voice of Maine.
For the hunting enthusiast, Old Town Trading Post is a must. They carry most major brands of new and used firearms and accessories and have a gunsmith on site. As outdoor enthusiasts themselves, the folks at Old Town Trading Post know just what you need to complete the Maine hunting experience. Johnson wool jackets and pants, scents and calls, blinds, boots, game cameras, ammo and hunting licenses. Check out the Mora knives and the complete line of Leatherman multi-tools. Old Town Trading Post can outfit the sportsman year-round. You'll find everything for ice fishing like Jiffy and Eskimo augers, ice fishing shelters, chisels, live bait, and a wide selection of traps. They're also a game registration station with scales to weigh your game. Outfitting the sportsman from A to Z, they have what you need for your outdoor sport at Old Town Trading Post. Open every day at 9 a.m. and located 1/2 mile east of exit 197 from I-95. At 1681 Bennick Road in Old Town, visit oldtowntradingpost.net.
Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors, and our guests again are Don Corey and Rob Dunnett from the Enica Rod and Fly. Did I say that right?
Yes,
Rod and Fly Shop. If you have a question for either of these gents, and again, we encourage you to call us at 1-800-966-1039. That's a toll-free statewide number, and you can call us actually from anywhere in the world, as far as I know. Right, Jim? Yeah, anywhere
sure
in the world.
Can.
Yeah. So give us a buzz, and we'd love to take your questions or hear your comments. We were talking before the break, Rob. You were talking about something I'm not familiar with called Euro nymphing.
Euro nymphing. And,
now,
and
what is that about?
Well, it is fly fishing, but it's just a little bit different. You're not necessarily casting the same way. You're using a longer leader, and you're moving the fly through rather than the line, so it takes some of the drag of the fly line out of it. And okay. They're using longer rods, 10-foot rods, sometimes even 11-foot rods for nymphing rods, and lighter weight rods, so like three or four weight rods, because you're not having to cast big rods and weighted nymphs. So and we have rods in the shop that are for your own nymphing, and we're also getting into switch and spey rods, which are two-handed rods. The spey rods are actual two-handed rods where you're using two hands on the rod to cast. And the switch rods give you the opportunity, they're a little bit shorter than the spey rods, that you can one-hand cast with them, and then you can also switch to a two-hand cast with the same rod. So it kind of gives you... And then with that, we also are the OPST dealer, which is a fly line manufacturer off the West Coast that... has all the running lines and shooting heads and all of the things that go along with spey cast and whatnot.
Is that like surf casting? Similar?
Not necessarily. It's more of a exaggerated roll cast that you do. But in a lot of the places out like in the Skagit Valley, where a lot of this came from, steep banks, no place to cast. So they came up with ways to make it work and be able to cast longer distances without being able to make a back cast. So.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about shooting heads on lines that are, you know, 12, 16, 18 feet long.
Wow.
Versus, you know, 30, 35 feet on a regular fly line.
What's a shooting head?
It's the weighted portion of the line nearest the leader, and they have these really aggressive weighted heads. And, I mean, you can throw weighted flies. And like Rob said, the big deal is with two-handed casting is that you don't have to have an area behind you. If you've got bushes and
What I usually do in that case is walk to some other place.
Yep. Well, yeah, I've been had customers in that have been able to fish, like up on the West Branch, fish runs that they could never fish in the past because they couldn't cast.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, they had to, would have to move to a different spot on the river.
Well, you know, there's a pool up there that I fish a lot. It's the Little Eddy. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Where you have to walk across that cinder block underwater and almost drown to get out to the sandbar.
Do you have the GPS coordinates of that, Paul?
You know where that is. Anyway, it's a steep, steep bank you go down. It's almost really challenging to get down and up. But anyway, there's a big wall there and a big sheer rock wall, and you have to – it's tough to cast there sometimes.
That might be the place they're using that cast.
Yeah.
And there might be fish that have been avoiding you because you couldn't cast to them.
Could be, yeah. You're probably not going to see many spey rods, though, in places like Grand Lake Stream or
You're going to see a lot more switch rods in both of those places.
Are you really?
You are, yep.
Because of the longer cast?
Well, no, because of an aging population with bad shoulders, and it's easier to cast a switch rod than it is to cast an overhand rod.
Yeah.
And and just because it's a new fad and technique.
Okay.
So you'll see more of that. Our club actually this past weekend had our first class. We had a two-handed class, and we had 12 people that came out that wanted to learn about it. So
how much go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't you do a rolling cast when you can't get back? You just do a rolling cast?
Yeah, but you can do a roll cast maybe 25 or 30 feet.
Yeah.
We're talking with these two-hand rods of being able to throw 30, 40, 50 feet of line.
Into the bushes.
Wow.
On the other side.
Yeah. Wow.
That's
far,
wonderful.
Huh? Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. That's a pretty good question for a guy who's an angleworm dipper.
Not always.
Oh, yeah. You fly fish, don't you? Really?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I do. You're just joking when you talk about worms.
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. We're going to make a buck here, okay? Take a short break?
Absolutely.
Very short break. Just want to remind everybody that this program is sponsored in part every week and has been for, golly, I don't know, 20 years or more, by General Appliance and Brewer, the place to go for all of your appliance needs. It doesn't matter if you're talking about gas ranges, lights, refrigerators, or gas freezers. They have a complete line of both new and used gas appliances. I think they have electric appliances as
They do. They fix gas and electric, and they sell gas and electric.
And electric, yeah.
Yep.
91 Center Street in Brewer. Al Elkins is the honcho over there. He's the guy to talk with, and we know him well. He's a great fellow to do business with. General Appliance, and they also have a complete line of compost toilets.
Ride the wave, baby.
You bet. Compost toilets are the way to go. I guess you don't have to have a leach field, don't have to worry about freeze-ups in the winter.
Nope.
And Bob Lehman says you can put it in your closet at home, right?
No mosquitoes.
No mosquitoes to deal with.
Nope.
No long walks to the outhouse if you have a camp.
No long walks to that little shack out back.
You bet. General Appliance and Brewer. Remember, they help make this show possible every week, and we encourage you to patronize them as we do.
And I hear Al Elkins is running for town council in Orrington.
You're kidding.
He is.
I never thought he'd become a politician.
I didn't either, but I'm going to vote for him.
You are?
Yes.
I'm not going to get into politics.
Nope, I don't either usually,
right.
But he's a good man.
But he's a good man. He probably would make a good town council or whatever he's
yes,
running for.
He would.
Okay, and good luck to you there, Al. Good luck to you. Hope you get the votes. Okay, back with our guests. Again, we're talking fly fishing, fly tying. If you have any questions for these gents, 1-800-966-1039 is the magic number. One of the things I wanted to talk about before we run out of time is, before the show, you mentioned something to me that caught my attention. And I've always been interested. I know a little bit about fly tying. Back in the old days, I used to tie with Don and the crew. And I can do a streamer, but I can't do much else. But anyway, I used to like to use crystal flash when I was tying those little small streamers. And then you mentioned something that caught my attention. Rob, you were talking about something called shimmer fringe.
Shimmer fringe,
what's
yep.
that? What's that all about?
So it's a synthetic material, kind of like crystal flash, but it's a very fine fiber. It's kind of like bucktail, but with bucktail on steroids. It's very easy to tie with. It comes on a glue strip. It's about a 4-inch fiber. and it comes in all those kind of smelty colors. It has it comes in one section that's a pink and purple that's mixed together. We've created a fly for the shop through some research and development, which means we got to go fishing and try out our flies.
Right.
And we created one that we call the ARF, which stands for Anacharodon Fly 1820, which is the first two fish we caught.
Yeah,
on
you showed me a picture of it. Yes,
yeah, one was an 18-inch salmon. The second one was a 20-inch salmon. So, and it's 1820 is also when the birth date of the state of Maine. So it has a little history to it, too.
Great.
So,
yeah.
But very, very easy material to tie with, and it looks great in the water. It has a lot of flash and reflection, and it gives you those pinks and purples and greens and opalescent colors that are just really smelty. Yeah. I mean,
does Bob Lehman know about that?
Huh?
Got to tell him he's been giving me a heck of a lot of flies lately, and they're beautiful things.
Yes.
I haven't caught anything on them yet, but I'm still trying.
The nice thing about the shimmer fringe is you can take a regular pattern like a black ghost or a gray ghost, and you can put a few of these fibers inside, so you can take an old tried and true pattern and lay some of this color in, and
you can add to later.
Really spice it up.
Oh,
well,
you
would do it when you're tying it, but you know, you can change that original pattern a little bit.
Oh, spice it up a little bit.
Yep.
So instead, like the gray ghost, instead of the white bucktail belly that you put on it, you could use the white shimmer fringe.
Okay.
And give it a little bit more iridescency and do that. So
there's a disclaimer. You've got to be very careful that you keep these inside your jacket pocket until you actually are ready to tie them on, because the fish will jump into the boat after these flies.
Boy, they're that good, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I got to get some of that shimmer fringe.
That reminds me of the flappers back in the 20s, the shimmer.
Yeah.
The shimmer, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, what is it, Bob? What was that sexist comment Bob Lehman always used to say about a good fly is like a foxy lady, has to have, what was that saying?
I ain't going there.
Have to have flash and wiggle and one other thing. What was it? Yeah.
I don't know, but
that that shimmer really sounds great. How much is it expensive stuff to buy at your shop?
I think it's like $5 a package.
Yeah.
$5 a package.
And yeah. It's something, yeah. I mean, that's one of the things that you're going to find that we're trying at Anacharodon Fly is we're trying new materials all the time, and we're trying to get the latest stuff. The other product that we brought into the shop over the last year or so is a product called Solarez, which is a UV cure. And what it's doing is where you used to use epoxy that would have to sit and dry for either 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it was on a dryer, you'd have to spin it.
Yeah.
This you put on, you hit it with the UV light, and it cures.
Having the dentist when they fill your teeth.
Yep. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, you guys probably ought to have a sideline of having dentistry over there at Annika Fly Shop.
No, we're good. We're good with that.
Yeah.
And we've taken this material to go into tying some dry flies too, where we're simplifying posts on dry flies so that you're not having to work as hard to do that.
Right.
And the other thing that we do is we have people that come in and they're looking to tie something or do something, and they're having a problem with it. Well, we've got the materials and we've got the vices and we have the know-how. We can sit you right down at the table and go, hey, let's tie one. And then they can go home and try it. If it didn't work, they can come back and see us again. So,
Let me ask you this. Maybe a dumb question, but I know in every endeavor there are people who are purists. Is there somebody out there in the fly fishing community, say that one of the icons like, what's his name? Gary LaFontaine or somebody like that. Would they not deem to use synthetic materials in a fly? Are there tires who are like that?
Well, I mean,
you know,
the LaFontaine caddis uses
a synthetic
to make a bubble.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. I mean, for an emerger patent.
Yeah.
He has.
I guess what I'm asking is, are there stubborn purists out there who would only use like animal feathers and
maybe
stuff like that?
Are there people that don't use cell phones?
Very few.
Yeah. Well,
there are a few of them out there. Yeah.
And we teach a fair bit with the Penobscot fly fishers and at the shop too. And we teach with some of the new materials, and we tell them about the old materials that were used. And one of the lines we use a lot at the times is, why didn't they use this material? Because they didn't have it. If they'd had that material, they would have used it.
Okay.
I mean, it's
What is the most used, most popular non-synthetic material that you'd use to tie a fly with? Is it
elk hair, deer hair. Is there anything that's common, most common?
Well, like streamers. I mean, bucktail streamers are a mainstay for, you know, bands in Maine.
Okay, we've got to go to the natural bacon, though.
The what?
Peacock curl, peacock curl, that green peacock curl. We call that bacon when you put it on a fly.
Is it that good, right?
Well, it makes any fly better, just like bacon makes anything better. And peacock curl on bucktail streamers, you can use it as a topping. If you're making dry flies, you can wrap the body with it. I mean, there's a lot of different uses for peacock curl. But then now they're coming out with synthetics that duplicate that. So but
is there any material that is illegal to use these days? Is there a black market for I don't know.
There's a whole book that recently came out called Feather Thief about a guy that stole a bunch of feathers from the Natural History Museum
in London.
And some of the rare salmon flies use some stuff that's not allowed to be used anymore. And they also like polar bear.
It's illegal to have polar bear?
It's not illegal to have it, but it's illegal to buy it now.
Is it?
And then you've got the whole lead controversy that goes around, and so we're not using lead anymore because it's killing loons and et cetera. Yeah. So,
what do you use to weight a woolly bug or something like that?
Well, we're using beads that aren't lead based. They're either steel or brass or tungsten.
Yeah.
And then there's a lead free wire that we can wrap on them. So
I see.
It's not as soft. It's not quite as heavy, but it's more eco friendly. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about bismuth shot? Do you use that?
No.
Tungsten seems to be the it's a little bit harder than the bismuth. So tungsten seems to be the buzz thing in fly tying right now.
Question for you, Rob. What was the thing that attracted you to using a fly rod? What did you like about it?
Well, It was a quick transition from spin fishing to fly fishing. When I caught my first fish on a fly rod, and felt that. And then the other thing was that I remember I was fly fishing for a while, and then I went out with some people and we were spin fishing, and I missed a fish. Holy cow, you had to reel and reel and reel and reel to get the line in so you could cast to it again. Well, when you're fly fishing and you miss a fish, you can pick the line up.
You
can lay it right back out there to them. So.
Yeah.
Well, I remember the trip we went up to Sourdough with Joe Bertolosini and And I remember the nice thing in the night, come back and get something to eat, tie some flies, fill up the box, and had some good memories of tying right there in camp.
Oh, yeah, great time.
Joe was my neighbor.
Oh, is he?
Yeah,
he lives over near.
Yeah, just up the street from me.
Talk about legends.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was one of my mentors early on.
Yeah.
My mentors, too.
Yep.
He's a great streamer tire.
He writes a column for a sporting journal.
Yes.
Joe, he's a nice guy.
Yeah, he listens every Sunday. Yeah,
we had a good time. That was quite a few years ago, I remember. And seems to me I played a game of cribbage with Joe, and I remember I lost. And I said something about, at least I'm a good loser. And he looked at me and he said, Paul, a loser is a loser.
That's a Joe.
Yeah, that's Joe. Yeah. What about, let me get to one of the questions I always try to ask folks like you. And I'm keeping tabs of this. I have a little logbook at home in my office. But let's start with you, Rob. Tell us and our listeners, what are your three favorite dry flies and your three favorite wet flies and or nymphs, whatever you want to talk about?
Well, I'm fishing a lot more emergers than actual dry flies. And I think probably I've got more clink hammers, which is...
You like the clink hammer?
I do. Yeah. That parachute with that and in a couple of different flavors, some with shucks, some without. But when those bugs get trapped in the film, they're just deadly on them. And when there's a hatch coming off, I tend to go towards the emergers.
Do you?
Yeah.
Now you're saying even when they're hitting dries on top, they'll always hit an emerger?
Yeah, because that's the guy that's stuck in the film that's not going to fly away, they're. Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. The clink hammer, first time I ever used that, was fishing with Daniel Legere, and we tied a a clinkhammer on the front and a lime trude on the back. And he joked and said, we're going to make our own hatch because we got two flies going here. And we caught a bunch of fish. And when I got back home, I looked it up and started tying them. And just the way the body hangs down, it's a very aggressive bend hook, and the body hangs down below the surface. So it looks just like that emerger that's coming up to the surface and trying to break the tension, open its wings, and fly off. So it's kind of like hung right in the right in the film. Clint Cameron, I would say, would be my number one.
Now, you got to realize, I'm a fairly accomplished fly fisherman. I do a lot of fly fishing, and I read some books. I have a friend who's written two or three great books. I've never heard this before. I mean, I've heard somebody say, well, I think they're hitting emergers, and you switch. But you seem to be telling me, you both are telling me, that whenever they're hitting strictly dry flies on top, they're always going to hit an emerger.
Well,
is that right?
When they're sipping dry flies on the surface, there's a great video that's called The Underwater World of Trout.
Yeah.
And they show fish sipping dry flies off the surface. And then they go underwater, and then they see this just logjam fish that's just picking these bugs off as they're in the water column on the way up. So,
anybody that will tell you that trout feed 90% below the surface.
Oh yeah, I've heard that. Yeah.
So if they're eating on the surface, I mean.
So you don't mess around with a Parachute Adams or Hornburg or.
Well, I mean, a Parachute Adams was really designed to sit down in the film like an emerger.
Yeah.
And just the clinkhammer just hangs that body down below the hackle better.
Okay.
And it just more mimics better than that. So.
Can you get a clinkhammer in a 16 or that small?
Sure.
Yeah.
And of course, I mean, but when we do our fly tying class in the wintertime, we tie a hare's ear nymph and we tie an elk hair caddis. And if I was to be given a fly box to go off into the woods and survive for a couple of days, if you gave me a box that had hare's ear nymphs and elk hair caddis, I think I could eat.
Hare's ear nymph and elk hair caddis. And a clinkhammer.
Yes.
Clinkhammer.
Yep.
And you'd have those in different sizes, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Different sizes, different colors and whatnot.
Yep.
Sure.
And
as far as if we talk nymphs and we talk dries, we could talk streamers. A Black Ghost Marabou to swing in the current is probably one of my favorites.
That's your favorite? Yeah, that's my son's favorite. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, what's your second favorite? What streamer fly?
That's going to depend on the water that I'm fishing, but most of them are going to be marabou. If I'm casting, I'm going to fish a gray ghost marabou. If I'm trolling, I'm going to do a featherwing, because I think the marabou, when you're swinging that fly, that marabou moves and it just resembles the fish moving sideways in the current. Whereas when you're trolling with a long shank streamer, they track better with the feathers as opposed to the marabou.
So that was a Black Ghost streamer?
Marabou.
Black Ghost marabou.
Marabou Black Ghost, yep.
Marabou Black Ghost, okay. How about you, Don? What are your favorites?
Well, if I was one of the Wildy Booger gang at Grand Lake Stream, I'd be thinking about a maple syrup.
Golden Retriever.
Golden Retriever down there.
You know, that fly is really, really good down there. I've used that a number of times.
Yeah.
But I've tried fishing at other places and haven't had great luck on trout with a golden retriever.
Well, we have people in the shop that fish it in other places. And the maple syrup, Alvinterio's fly, one of the simplest flies to tie, and they just work. I mean, a lot of waters you can fish that and have pretty good luck.
You know, my late buddy there, Wiggy Robinson, that was the only fly he ever used.
Yep.
I'm not kidding. That's all he used was maple syrup. Yep. Heck with the rest of it.
So,
yeah.
So probably before we run out of time, we should tell people where the shop is in Berlin.
Oh, for sure, yeah. You can use the show to promote to your shop. I encourage that.
So we're
talk it up.
We're on we're at 12 Acme Road, which is in Brewer. If you're familiar with where W.S. Emerson is and Miller's Workshop, we're in the building right across the street from them. So,
and I had a little time trying to find you guys one day, and you got to drive around and come through the back side there. Yeah. So, and your sign was obscured by one of the delivery trucks, so I couldn't see the sign.
You know, if you, you know,
you're trying to hide out over there, I think.
The best trout waters, Paul, are right beside the road, you know.
I know. Yeah, you're right.
That's where the parade lines up.
Okay, yeah. And what you have to sell there are fly tying material.
Mm-hmm. Rod building supplies.
Finished flies.
We have fly rods. We have fly lines, both Rio and Airflow. We've, like I said, the OPST line of Skagit heads. We have
fly reels.
Don's ordering all the time. If there's a fly tying material that we don't have, which is rare.
You don't need it.
We can get it. And the other thing, and we could probably go through a whole show on it, the new thing is that we're stocking are tippet rings, which...
What's a tippet ring?
A tippet ring is a little 2-millimeter ring that you tie on your leader, and then you tie your tippet to that.
Yeah.
And if you want to fish a dropper or an anchor fly, you can tie two tippets to the same tippet ring.
I got to come get one of those.
Oh man.
Yeah. But we could fill in a whole nother hour talking about tippet rings and how to fish them.
Oh, so I'll have to come get one of those.
Come on over to the shop and we'll talk all about it.
All right. The other thing, I guess I have time. The other thing that gets me is
30 seconds.
Oh, I don't have time. With my old eyes, some of those flies, it just takes forever to tie them on.
You need to take young people fishing with
I think
you.
You're right, yeah. Hey, guys, it's been really great to have you aboard tonight. We've learned a lot, and we appreciate you being here. Good luck with your shop over there. Again, you have a website, right?
Yep, www.annikarodandfly.com.
And Annika is spelled?
A-N-N-I-K-A.
A-N-N-I-K-A. So check out their website.
Phone number.
And what's your phone number?
207-299-6336.
And we're on Facebook.
And you are on Facebook.
Annika Rodandfly.
All right. Thank you very much for being here. Good luck in the waters of Maine.
Thanks for having us, Paul.
All right. Next week, our guest is going to be deer biologist Jerry Levine. And we'll see you all next week right here on Maine Outdoors.